Well, first of all, Dr. Laporte, who knew, well, I guess you did, how much intrigue there was and potential intrigue in the world of transplants?
Yes. If you think about it, the world of transplant start off from the very beginning with a very big conflict. If your heart is very sick and you need a new heart, you have to hope for somebody to die in order for you to live. So that's a big, big opening conflict of interest.
Absolutely. Well, you create some wonderful characters, and I love the team of Kirk and Charlotte. They're wonderful characters, but have a unique chemistry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Kirk Minor was the protagonist of my first published book, Dissection, and I really liked him so much, and I kept him on. And Charlotte Bloom was a minor character of my prior book, and I, at the end of reading Dissection, one of my readers told me that gal, Charlotte Bloom, was so good, I was ready to hire her at the end of the book. So I hired her to be the protagonist in Change of Heart. She became a young woman and a cyber specialist in the FBI. And so that's how she came about.
Does it help as a writer that you know these characters and already have an understanding of their voice?
Yes, the character have to really be like real person in the head of an author. Otherwise, they come out really flat on the page. So, like for my character, they're usually a combination of people I know or people I read about, and that I put them all together, and I really think of them as people. I become attached to them. And that's why it's good to have a series, because then you can still have them. You know, you finish one book and then you start the other one, but they're not gone. And I hope the readers have the same kind of reaction, you know, to them.
Well, and Charlotte, as we find out, not just an investigator, but has a real vested interest in this case because of her own past.
Yes, she also has some medical symptoms, which are worrisome. And so that's a big conflict for her because she has to keep that a secret in order to finish her training at the FBI. If people find out that she has some arrhythmias or some problem with her heart, they're not going to let her go in the field. And she wants to be in the field. She wants to be in action. She doesn't want to be behind a desk.
We're talking with Dr. Christina Laporte. Her new book is called Change of Heart. I love the character. I hope I pronounced the name right, of Santo Montepulciano. How did I do with that?
Yes. I had to pick a character that was not a real mobster. It took me a while to find a good Italian name. There was not taken.
And I love the description of his office and how it almost felt like a spa walking in.
Yes. Yes, it was modern, and it was cozy, and it was wealthy looking and feeling. And I had to put that touch of the Last Supper reproduction above his head, right on top of his desk. So, you know, with a name like Saint, it was like appropriate to have Jesus Christ blessing him.
Well, and I don't want to give anything away, no spoilers, but the role he plays in this story becomes, well, much bigger than we imagine when we first meet him.
Yes, no spoilers.
Dr. Zane Wilder is such a wonderful character. Is he an amalgam of some people you've worked with through the years?
Is actually, the name is straight from my grandson.
Oh, wonderful.
My grandson's name is Zane, and then I had a different last name, but then it occurred to me that this last name I had used in one of my other books, so I had to pick, so that's the second, his middle name is Wilder, and he's very appropriate, so I kept that for the last name.
My
grandson's name.
It's great. Have you had personal experience in learning about the opportunities for criminal activity in the transplant world?
I read about, because whenever you have a shortage, you're going to have a black market, unfortunately, and that's what's happening with organs. We don't have enough organs we don't have as many organs as we need, and therefore, you know, we should try to increase the number of organs so that that would greatly discourage the criminal activity.
And you write about priority systems. Are those systems we have in place, or are they serving everybody as well as they should?
Priority systems obviously are good because you have to prioritize the organ allocation according to not just a good match genetically and such, but obviously according to the severity of the illness. And so I'm all for that, of course. You know, the sicker people should get transplanted first. However, there are ways that we could have, you know, to increase the number of organs. And so we wouldn't have to prioritize so much.
The number one rule for doctors is, of course, first, do no harm. But in this world of transplants, are there often some moral and ethical questions you have to deal with?
Of course, you know, you always first do no harm to your patient. But if a patient obviously is already dying, then allocating the organs would obviously benefit somebody else. I don't think it would hurt the person who's dying. The one thing that we could do, you know, to increase the number of organs would be to actually compensate families. And is looked at as very unethical and is illegal today. But if you think about it, we do compensate people for eggs or sperm. Mm-hmm. So why not for organ? As long as you keep the priority to people who are actually ill, very ill, and you keep the matching, obviously, one of the most important priority, I don't think there would be anything unethical about compensating the family of the donor. But that is considered, you know, illegal today and unethical.
Charlotte has some trepidation when she finds out who her donor is. What are some of the psychological challenges that recipients have to deal with, both before and after the procedure?
Well, again, unfortunately, the recipient know that somebody had to die in order for them, most of all in the case of the heart, to get an organ such as the heart. And so that alone has to be accepted as a reality, obviously. And that, if you think about it, could have some impact in one person. You have to hope for somebody to die in order for you to live. And so that opens the door to a lot of ethical drama, if you wish.
And the survivor stories, and you share some, are so compelling.
Yes, I mean, it's, again, it's very, I think that's another thing. You're not allowed, a doctor is not allowed to specifically ask a family for a heart for one of his patients. I think that should be, right today is an association that is in charge of requesting the donation. The doctor cannot interfere with that. I think it would be good for the family to develop some sort of relationship with the doctor and possibly with the recipient. I think it would be emotionally helpful for a family to know that your heart is going to this specific person. So that would be another way, I think, to increase the number of donations.
There is so much going on in this book and so many interlocked, interweaved stories. Did you keep an outline during the writing process to make sure you knew where everything was going and what was happening?
I need to know the whole story to begin with, how it ends and everything. Of course, there could be changes if I find out something that's better as I write. So I have a rough outline. It's not a very detailed one. But I have everything in my head in details. But I definitely have an outline. There are some people, you know, the writers divided into the pantser by the seat of their pants and and the plotters. So I think I'm in between.
What do you hope readers take away from their time in this world with these wonderful characters?
Well, the most important thing, I hope they have a good time reading this book as much as a good time as I had writing it.
Well, I had that. You can't put it down. I had no idea there would be this much tension and drama and mystery. It's a fabulous read, and I hope we get to visit with these characters again down the road, that there'll be a follow-up. But A Change of Heart, the latest Miner and Mulville medical thriller, is wonderful. Dr. Christina Laporte, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.